Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is weakened, but the U.S. still considers it the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, and it has drastically reduced the time it would take to develop a nuclear weapon. It is down now to 1 or 2 weeks' time. Governor Walz, if you were the final voice in the Situation Room, would you support or oppose a preemptive strike by Israel on Iran? You have 2 minutes.
Look at this. We're going to start off with, like, serious policy questions and, you know, the philosophy of war, just war theory of the war itself, of the warfare. You know, what's going on in the Middle East? We just had a massively relevant modern event happen, attacks by Iran against Israel with ballistic missiles and, you know, most of them either shot down, defended by Iron Dome, or by the other systems that they have, plus the United States' two warships involved in the two Arleigh Burke-class destroyers. You know, it's a we're on the verge of Middle East War Part 84 or whatever. And, you know, yeah, good question. What about preemptive strikes against a nuclear potential Iran? And Governor Tim Walz goes right into not answering the question mode.
Israel's ability to be able to defend itself is absolutely fundamental. Getting its hostages back, fundamental, and ending the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. But the expansion of Israel and its proxies is an absolute fundamental necessity for the United States to have the steady.
The what? Say it again?
But the expansion of Israel and its proxies.
Did he mean Iran? He must have meant Iran and its proxies. Because Israel doesn't have proxies. Iran has proxies. Okay, say it again, sir.
But the expansion of Israel and its proxies is an absolute fundamental necessity for the United States to have the steady leadership there. You saw it experienced today, where along with our Israeli partners and our coalition, able to stop the incoming attack.
I think what he must have meant to say is stopping Iran and its proxies is an absolute essential for the United States. But those are not the words that came out of his mouth. His first answer was terrible. And when we watched his, just in our living room, you know, watching his first answer, I thought, oh, underperforming. This is going to be bad. And then J.D. Vance, his first answer was to, you know, do a preface, right? He didn't answer the question directly because he wanted to make sure he got the, you know, this is the key thing that I'm supposed to say, and I want to make sure to say it. And it was good.
I want to answer the question, but I want to actually give an introduction to myself a little bit because I recognize a lot of Americans don't know who either one of us are. I was raised in a working class family. My mother acquired food.
I did laugh a little bit about that. I was raised in a working class family. I'm in the middle. I think it's a fight to the bottom. Like, who can prove they were more poor at some point in their lives? I'm from a middle class family. I'm from a working class family. I'm from the rural poor. Yeah, well, my mom was an addict. I mean, it's right. We're kind of having that sort of a conversation, which is weird. Anyway, back to J.D. Vance's explain himself moment.
I want to answer the question, but I want to actually give an introduction to myself a little bit because I recognize a lot of Americans don't know who either one of us are. I was raised in a working class family. My mother required food assistance for periods of her life. My grandmother required Social Security help to raise me, and she raised me in part because my own mother struggled with addiction for a big chunk of my early life. I went to college on the GI Bill after I enlisted in the Marine Corps and served in Iraq. And so I stand here asking to be your vice president with extraordinary gratitude for this country, for the American dream that made it possible for me to live my dreams.
Oh, that boy looked good. That's a pretty good start. I mean, granted, that's canned, or essentially canned. He's probably told that story 1,000 times, right? So he should get that right. But this good canned material, you know, the other guy's canned material was terrible, okay?
know that a lot of you are worried about the chaos in the world and the feeling that the American dream is unattainable. I want to try to convince you tonight, over the next 90 minutes, that if we get better leadership in the White House, if we get Donald Trump back in the White House, the American dream is going to be attainable once again.
This is really good canned material.
Now, to answer this particular question, we have to remember that as much as Governor Waltz just accused Donald Trump of being an agent of chaos, Donald Trump actually delivered stability in the world, and he did it by establishing effective deterrence. People were afraid of stepping out of line.
He's killing it on the very first. And I love that he, you know, didn't just say he would answer the question, but he is going to come back and actually answer the question after explaining that, you know, as much as Tim Walz wants to paint Donald Trump as an agent of chaos and a destabilizing force in the world, how'd we actually do, though, while he was president? Pretty good, yeah?
You asked about a preemptive strike, Margaret, and I want to answer the question. Look, it is up to Israel what they think they need to do to keep their country safe, and we should support our allies wherever they are when they're fighting the bad guys. I think that's the right approach to take with the Israel question.
Yeah, I don't have a view about preemptive strikes because, first of all, America has engaged in this. You may remember a war we did in the Middle East that sort of had to do with that. But also, it's Iran. It's the threat from a nuclear Iran. It's a, you know, if they get the weapons, they're going to use the weapons as they did yesterday. And so whether Israel is justified in a preemptive strike against an imminently nuclear capable Iran, we're going to leave that up to them, which is, I mean, basically the right answer. The philosopher in me would have liked maybe a little bit more nuanced discussion of when preemption is justified, when preemption is not justified. But, you know, it's fine. I mean, it's a good answer. It's a good basic answer. That we're going to leave it up to them. So now we get back to talking about, you know, well, stability in the world and who's responsible for it. Because, again, during President Trump, we didn't have any new wars and new incursions, new invasions. Everybody else in American history has had that problem, right? In recent American history.
Iran is closer to a nuclear weapon than they were before because of Donald Trump's fickle leadership. And when Iran shot down an American aircraft in international airspace, Donald Trump tweeted, because that's the standard diplomacy of Donald Trump. And when Iranian missiles did fall near U.S. troops and they received traumatic brain injuries, Donald Trump wrote it off as headaches.
So this is interesting because he did what he's supposed to do. And he talked about, you know, getting out of the JCPOA and about, you know, how that was actually constraining Iran, he thinks. And Trump got out of it because he thought it was a bad deal for us and, you know, not particularly an awful deal for Iran. And I tend to agree with that, but, you know, that's a little bit too nuanced for Americans on foreign policy. Typically, we don't all know enough about it to really be able to have that conversation. And unlike debates in the 60s, when you presumed that people knew all the things they needed to know to have foreign policy conversations, you can't really take that for granted anymore. But instead, he just says, OK, a couple of dumb tweets. You know, that's the reason why you can't trust Trump. So J.D. Vance.
First of all, Margaret, diplomacy is not a dirty word, but I think that's something that Governor Waltz just said is quite extraordinary. You yourself just said Iran is as close to a nuclear weapon today as they have ever been. And Governor Waltz, you blame Donald Trump, who has been the vice president for the last 3.5 years. And the answer is your running mate, not mine.
Again, landed blow, right? We are closer than ever to a nuclear Iran. Under whose watch? Kamala Harris's watch. And some guy named Joe. I mean, sure. But, you know, they're trying to make it that she owns everything that's good and doesn't own anything that's bad. And they're really running against Trump as if he's an incumbent. Well, under whom did we get the current status of Iran? Under your leadership? I don't know. You know, your running mate, not mine, right?
When did Iran and Hamas and their proxies attack Israel? It was during the administration of Kamala Harris. So Governor Waltz can criticize Donald Trump's tweets, but effective, smart diplomacy and peace through strength is how you bring stability back to a very broken world. Donald Trump has already done it once before.
He has done it once before. And he's right that you can be upset about the mean tweets or the dumb tweets or the, let's be honest, asinine tweets. But what actually happened in the world? How many times have you heard me say this? I cannot stand the brand of Donald Trump. I cannot stand the persona of Donald Trump. I cannot stand the... Oh, every time he opens his mouth, I hate the fact that I'm going to vote for him. But why am I voting for him? Because look at the results. Look at what actually happened. Or, in the case of international conflict, what didn't happen when he was president because of credible, capable deterrence and strength and peace through strength, as opposed to war through weakness, which would, by the way, be a great line for J.D. Vance to use. But, you know, still, that's the concept he's selling, right?
Yourself at home. When was the last time, I'm 40 years old, when was the last time that an American president didn't have a major conflict break out? The only answer is during the 4 years that Donald Trump was president.
So first round clearly went to Vance. And the rest of the debate was actually, can we say this out loud? It's a good debate. It's a really good debate. I know Margaret Brennan fell down, hit herself on the head, and embarrassed herself in front of the whole wide world. I get it. She's not up to this task. She's unfortunately a B quality news anchor at best and is in over her head. Whereas Nora O'Donnell has been and is and will always be a rock star in the news. I'm a big fan of Nora O'Donnell. In fact, Nora O'Donnell is one of the reasons why I haven't said it in a while, but I have long believed that CBS was the best of the three network newses. Because largely of Nora O'Donnell. I mean, she's great. What they really did wrong last night, CBS really did wrong is they let Margaret Brennan play. They should have said, "No, sweetie, bless your heart, no," and just let Nora O'Donnell run it by herself. She wouldn't have made the dumb mistakes. She wouldn't have said the dumb things. She wouldn't have. It would have been so much better if it had just been Nora O'Donnell. But yeah, at round one, clearly on foreign policy. And the message was right, which is you can dislike Donald Trump, you can hate his tweets, you can look at all the fluff and chatter and sure, fine. And I agree. He kind of agreed with him about that. And then he said, but what actually happened? And for all of your bluster about the danger and the chaos and the meltdown, remember, people were predicting nuclear war under Trump. People were predicting massive international chaos under Trump, global invasion, rise of the dictator. Everything that could go wrong was going to go wrong under President Trump. What actually happened during those 4 years? One of the most peaceful times international relations-wise that you can remember. And that's what Vance was exactly right, to sell the words versus the results and the last 3 years versus the prior 4 years. But again, a good debate. A good debate all around. The kind of debate you can be proud of. The kind of debate that makes you think, oh, we can actually do this in America. We can actually have meaningful, robust, even genial debates where the two people agree with each other and concede points to each other. Which, by the way, one of the most important winning strategies if you're ever in... Well, I should say historically, one of the great ways to win arguments and win at persuasion, and by the way, be good, like decent at the same time. Always concede your opponent's points that are right. Always. Do it early and give them more credit than they deserve. It's kind of like a grace-based rhetorical strategy. If you give them more credit than they deserve, then they can't really come back and be like, yeah, see, that's what you said. You know, get there first. It's like sales. If you're doing sales, what's one of the basic things they teach you about sales? Concede the objection, mention it first. Because if they mention it, now you're like, yeah, I know it's kind of expensive, but you say, you know what, honestly, this is kind of expensive, but let me tell you what you get for that. Right? You're pacing the person, you're taking their side, you're showing you understand their point of view, and then you're giving a response to their thing before they can set it. You know, set the terrain, set the ground. And I thought both of them actually did a pretty good job of this. J.D. Vance did a better job of it, but that's what you do in effective reasoning and effective debating. And, you know, it was actually mostly enjoyable to watch. We could do this? No, I will not go as far as to say that, you know, we wish these were the candidates. Mostly because J.D. Vance just doesn't have enough experience. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, a lot of people might, but Obama didn't have more experience than J.D. Vance does, not really. You want somebody with more experience, particularly more executive experience, to be president. To be vice president, I mean, it's fine. So I wouldn't exactly say we'd rather have him on the top of the ticket, but we'd rather have this than that in terms of quality of rhetoric, discussion, geniality, civility, and the like. If only Margaret Brennan could have not been there. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Your thoughts, 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, of course, you want to get the best price either way. And I really think in this environment, one of the things that people who are selling a home, if you've lived in it, you know, for 6 or 7 years and you're selling a home, you might be surprised to find out what's like normal or not normal anymore. And what I mean by that is, obviously, you want to know what the market is doing, what the interest rates are doing, what people's willingness to buy or pay more, or, you know, how hot is the market, all that kind of stuff. But I mean things like when a buyer says, I need you to replace that roof before I buy your home, which is going to be, what, $15,000 or $20,000, depending. I mean, more could be, but, you know, in that vicinity. And you say, what? No, it's like an 8-year-old roof. What are you talking about? Or it's an 11-year-old roof. What are you talking about? Well, because of insurance, because of Florida, because of hurricanes, right? And so, when is it normal for you to be expected as a seller to replace the roof first? When is it as a seller to be expected to replace the water heater or the AC? Or, you know, when is a buyer reasonable in asking you, you know, you see that corrosion on the pipes underneath the sink? I'm going to ask you to fix that first because I don't think I can insure this house if it's not fixed, which they might be right about that. But you ask a good realtor to give you perspective on what's normal and where's your negotiating power or not these days. That's why you get a good realtor. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, that's the kind of stuff they know cold because they sell enough homes to know what's normal. 175 last year, 122 as of about a month ago so far this year. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. As the leader in identity theft protection, LifeLock reminds you to update your passwords. Using the same password across multiple accounts makes you vulnerable to cyber criminals. Updating your passwords is only one way to help protect yourself. For comprehensive identity theft protection, you need LifeLock. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise. Start protecting your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Promo code Clay.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Takes a steady hand because if you touch the side...
Good morning. 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody says, yeah, Margaret Brennan, she clearly hates Team Trump. I watch her on Sunday morning, and she's very biased against Trump. Agreed. And, you know, the problem with the Sunday shows is there aren't any good ones. Not any of them. Like, Margaret Brennan is actually the beneficiary, the inheritor of a long tradition of great news coverage at CBS. The guest bookers at Face the Nation are fantastic. And they consistently put in front of her people that she's just not up to the task. But then again, nobody is on Sunday morning. Jake Tapper could be, but he long ago drank the Kool-Aid and, you know, decided to hate conservatives, which I don't understand why, because he was an outstanding, he was the best White House press correspondent when he was with ABC. And then he left them and went to CNN and, you know, drank the blue pill or whatever you want to call it, and has long since not been any good. There really aren't good Sunday morning shows. I used to look forward to Sunday morning. I don't even watch Sunday morning anymore, except if I see somebody's on there that I think I need to watch, like DeSantis or whatever. It's long ago stopped being like, how many of these shows am I going to watch? All of them. No. Have I watched any this week? Nah, delete them all. Like, it's sad, really. 528, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden says his top priority now is getting the areas impacted by Hurricane Helene the help and support they need. He'll be touring the areas hit by the storm later today. Rescue teams still searching for survivors in North Carolina. FEMA rescue teams from around the country are helping the North Carolina National Guard locate stranded people in the flooded mountain towns in the western part of the state. Officials say that over 500 people so far have been rescued. The National Guard has also been delivering pallets of food and water to the communities.
Did you see one of these online? Some people were sharing this on Saturday, I think it was. You know, the sort of the airspace maps where you see the planes that are in a particular geographic
right.
region. It's not an actual picture. It's a radar representation of who's there based on their you know, their aircraft identifying numbers. And it was, you know, like 10 Chinooks and, I mean, and a C-130s. And, like, I think that's what they were. You could really see all the different resources that had been sent into that area. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And one of the doctors charged in connection with the death of Matthew Perry, scheduled to be in court today to enter a guilty plea. Mark Chavez is expected to plead guilty to conspiring to distribute ketamine.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody says, whenever I speak to my friends, I always tell them that I can't stand, I hate Trump, but the person, but I love Trump, the policies. I think there's a lot of people in that position.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. During a more civil vice presidential debate than a lot of people expected during this campaign, Trump running mate Ohio Senator J.D. Vance is asked about calling Trump unfit for office in 2016 and saying he didn't get the job done in 2020.
I believed some of the media stories that turned out to be dishonest fabrications of his record, but most importantly, Donald Trump delivered for the American people.
Harris running mate Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is asked about falsely claiming he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre in China in June 1989.
All I said on this was, as I got there that summer and misspoke on this.
He criticized Republicans on abortion. Vance criticized Vice President Harris on immigration. Harris visits storm-affected areas in Georgia today. President Biden in North Carolina.
I think it's going to cost billions of dollars to restore these areas to where they were before.
At least 161 storm deaths are now confirmed across six states. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 71 degrees in Pensacola. A man was shot and killed in Escambia County last night. This happened between North Loop Road and Blue Angel Parkway at around a quarter after 10 p.m. Deputies say a suspect was arrested and is in custody. That person's identity has not been released. Investigators are still looking into this homicide, and so far, not a lot of information has been released. Nothing yet on a motive, but we'll let you know as soon as we learn more. Okaloosa County may have secured the deal to get the SS United States. The county board there approving just over $10 million to purchase the ship, which they want to sink off the Destin coast as a new artificial reef.
We're not in for $10.1 million. We're going to have funding partners. So our investment will be less than that, $5 million or less.
Okaloosa County Commissioner Trey Goodwin there. He says the county will be using tourist tax dollars and they'll also have community partners to split the cost. The effort was opposed by Commissioner Carolyn Ketchel, who wanted to use the money instead to purchase more beachfront land for tourists. In the end, though, that measure did pass 4-1. The United States will be moved from Philadelphia to Norfolk, Virginia for about 6 months for remediation. After that, it could come to Okaloosa County. If all goes according to plan, the United States is expected to generate millions of dollars a year in tourism revenue as an artificial reef. Santa Rosa tourism officials hoping they can add a visitor center, a parking lot, and a boardwalk to their current pavilions and pier at Navarre Beach. The boardwalk could bring in business opportunities.
There are some little stalls for small business operators so that they can go ahead and they can do their version of a store, which I love. So that's very positive. It gives small business local owners an opportunity to get into business.
And that is the operator of the Navarre Beach Pier, co-owner of Windjammers, Tamara Fountain. The TDC has saved $5 million of tourism money to go towards the project, and some funding has already been approved in next year's budget by the county. Officials, though, still working on designs that would have to be approved as well. The county is hoping to complete the first phase of the project within a couple of years. A Tampa nonprofit doing its part to help those who were hit by Hurricane Helene, Project Dynamo, announcing yesterday they've deployed a dozen team members to Western North Carolina to help find and evacuate people stranded there. A convoy of trailers with supplies and search and rescue equipment left Florida yesterday with two RVs that'll be serving as mobile command posts. Project Dynamo has plans to bring half a dozen horses to reach cars and pickup to reach areas that cars and trucks can't get to. The organization says there's still over 1,000 people that are considered to be missing in the Asheville area. It's 5:34 right now, News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
It is going to be a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Thursday, 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorm, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Rain chances increase on Friday with a 60% chance of rain, high near 83 and a low near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 71 degrees now in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Stocks in Hong Kong were up over 5% today, hitting a 22-month high for a sixth day of gains. The surge comes amid further optimism about Beijing's latest stimulus policies. The International Longshoremen's Association Union went on strike earlier this week, bringing business to a pause at all ports on the East and Gulf Coasts. Experts say because of the strike, the U.S. could soon see a shortage of bananas, pricier imported cherries, seafood, and coffee. U.S. shoppers are expected to boost their holiday spending this year. The average shopper is expected to spend just over $1,600, or a 7% increase from 2023. That's according to PwC. The growth is a sign that consumers are staying resilient despite years of rising prices that have eroded purchasing power. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 173. That's your money now.
Big Time Entertainment presents live in concert the legendary Oak Ridge Boys in Pensacola. Members of the Grand Ole Opry, Country Music Hall of Fame, and five-time Grammy Award winners, the Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys, American-made farewell tour. Sunday, October 6th at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola. More than 30 top 10 hits and over a dozen number ones. The Oak Ridge Boys, one night only.
After y'all come back, salute.
Get your tickets now at the Sanger Theater box office or Ticketmaster.com.
And we will sail away on the wings of love into the night.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Yes, I'm setting.
Don't miss the Oak Ridge Boys at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola, October 6th.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With four convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
I believe that Youth Left Behind is a grassroots organization, and we have the support of the community that believes in us. And we're not just interested in being a nonprofit, we're committed. We serve on days that's not funded by ECT. We partnership with the Sheriff Department, and we take children and enroll them in the Blazer Academy. 4 to 5 of our kids, every time they have the Blazer Academy, they're enrolled in there. And then they get to come back to the group and nominate another kid to go on a Blazer Academy for the next time.
So this is Hassan Hills, the founder of Youth Left Behind, an organization that gets Escambia Children's Trust money and was presenting to them about a week and a half ago, why to continue funding them, what they do. And I particularly loved a lot of things that he said I thought were very, very interesting. It's a fantastic program. Universally, everybody's like, nah, this is good stuff, really. But the partnership with the Blazer Academy and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office caught my attention. That's why I wanted to talk to Chip Simmons about this. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back. This is yesterday. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
And as I understand it, you you know Mr. Hills?
I have known Mr. Hills since he and I were both young men.
What is the nature of your relationship?
Well, and the reason I'll bring it up again is because some may have forgotten, and we talk about it at the Blazer Academy. He is one of my favorite people. He comes to the Blazer Academy, brings the kids that he's talking about, and on one of the days, he and I get up there and we talk about his specific cautionary tale. And back in the day, a much younger Chip Simmons was a narcotics officer, and a much younger Hassan Hills was not. And so we had interactions together, and he was arrested a couple times, and I was the arresting officer in Hassan Hills. So
you arrested him?
Yes. Ultimately, wow. We ended up, the task force that I was involved in, ended up charging him federally, and he went to prison for life. Not just he and his wife were sentenced to life in prison.
Wow.
For the drug trafficking right here in our community.
How long ago was this? Like 90s?
I was still 2000s? A police officer, so this would have been the 90s.
Yeah, okay. 90s. All right.
And then, so fast forward, I'm the sheriff, and I get a message on my desk that says, call Hassan Hills at this number, please. And I'm thinking it's impossible because Hassan Hills is doing life in prison.
Yeah, he's forever behind bars.
Well, his prison sentence, him and his wife both, their prison sentences were commuted. So he's out of prison, and I agree to meet with him, and now he's making amends. He is doing great things for our community. He has a heart for our community. He has a drive. We've met several times. I have our Law Enforcement Trust Fund is sponsored, one of the earliest sponsors for his programs. And again, he'll be there tonight. We have our Blazer Academy graduation tonight, so he'll be there with the kids that he brings with him. And that is the epitome of the programs that I believe, mm-hmm. just my opinion, that the Children's Trust should do, because he is hitting it where it needs to be hit. That is in his
right
heart is
before
in it.
Or right in the vicinity, right with juvenile justice. So right in the
a little
teenage,
bit older
the
kids
teenagers,
sometimes than I got. Yeah,
where they're right on the cusp of being lost forever, or
absolutely
being rescued.
And sometimes they've already made some mistakes in the programs that he gives and provides.
Sure.
So, and then some of those kids he brings to the Blazer Academy, not necessarily a spotless record, but they're the ones that, in his words, may have been left behind, and there's something that they need. So we work together, the Blazer Academy. He sends us, so some of the kids that are in his program, and we reserve spots specifically for Hassan, to bring those kids
great.
Into the Blazer Academy. So, and this is kind of what I'm talking about, where all these programs hopefully can all get going in the same direction. We don't have to work together. We don't have to be in the same room every time, but we can work collaboratively and all in the same direction. And we talk about what we can do to, for the crime and all that stuff. And a lot of it is we need mentorship. We need programs like the Blazer Academy, like Youth Left Behind, and I heard on the way coming in here the Children's Course. Those are programs I think that. That can provide that mentorship to our children.
And he made a really interesting point. I haven't had a chance to play these clips. I will later because I think it's so interesting what he's doing and important. He made the comment, he said, if we give kids a 12-week program, we're just hurting them. They need so much more. They need wraparound, continuous support. I mean, you can't teach somebody the kinds of skills and fix the kinds of challenges that they've had in one short course. You can make a big difference. Yeah. But, it's like you're teaching them all the good stuff and then throwing them right back in the same spot again.
Yeah, and that's why we're looking at doing like a refresher alumni type Blazer Academy program.
Yeah.
Ourselves, for those who have gone through our program that come back in, let's have an advanced class. Let's go a little bit farther than that. In fact, we're going to look into doing that next year. This will be tonight is a graduation for our men's class.
This is sixth, seventh, how many?
This is
six for the boys, and you've had two for the girls?
We've had three for the girls,
okay. And each class is how many?
Somewhere around 50, but we try to settle in about 25.
Wow.
And they fill up pretty quick.
We're talking on the verge of 200 kids-ish
Something like that.
Wow, that's just fantastic. Good news for today is I don't want to say it out loud too much, but we haven't had too many big high-profile.
You can't whisper on a radio.
I guess you can't.
You can't.
A lot of people hear it, even if I do.
There's no secrets,
so,
Andrew.
Yeah, fair enough. I did have a question for you on a lot of different subjects. I had a question for you about one is cops. Mm-hmm. Got a question for, when are you going to do cops again? Are you going to do cops again? Even though it's not on broadcast TV, it's still out there. And?
Right. Yes, we are. We've been talking to them. We should have them in here in a couple of months probably. They'll start filming, and so you'll see the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, your Escambia County Sheriff's Office, back on cops here shortly. Because my thought is we don't have anything to hide. And look, we got cameras all over our cars and our deputies anyways. And let's show the people what we're doing at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
What about, what's the other one, Live PD? Is
on that Patrol the, Live.
On Patrol Live.
We haven't really been involved in them. Okay. I don't know why they haven't called us, but cops. I think they realize that cops is all over the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and we have plenty for them to do.
The sheriff's deputies coming back from deployment to Madison County, right? You guys were with the EMS from Escambia and Santa Rosa in Madison County, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we left on Friday, a week ago, I guess, and so when we went over there to kind of help wherever they needed it, and most of Madison County is rural.
Okay,
so there was a lot of you can't respond to calls because there's trees over the road. You can't get power companies in there because there's trees all over the road. So what we do is when we deploy is we do whatever is necessary. We do whatever can help them to get back on their feet as quick as they possibly can. So, we have been deployed over there, been working with some folks from Okaloosa County, but obviously our Escambia County EMS, Emergency Management and EMS, I guess.
Right.
And then we also have been working with St. John's County. I've been talking to Sheriff Hardwick over there, and we've been kind of, giving them what they don't have, and they give us what we don't have. So, and that's how we do it. We coordinate. So we will be demobilizing or returning home probably late this afternoon or evening because, we've done what they needed us to do, and now they're back on their feet enough to where they can go ahead and take care of things on their own. Plus, there's so many agencies around there, so many small communities and mid-sized sheriff's offices that have been, it's like if something happened in Okaloosa or Santa Rosa County, we can easily bring our deputies over there to help them. Mm-hmm. And you don't need people from South Florida or, from Pensacola.
Gotcha. BYOC, bring your own chainsaw?
We brought over everything.
And your Bobcats. And your
Bobcats and right. Sleeping quarters and everything.
Same device that tears down a drug house in Escambia County can be used to move a tree off the road in Madison County.
Well, we're still tearing down houses here. So, I said tearing down houses. We're still kicking in
kicking
doors
in doors
here.
Right?
Yeah.
35? Is that the number I saw earlier?
Yeah, that was the number back then. So, yeah. I keep talking about our guys are doing a fit jam up job with
drug houses. By the way, is
drug houses. Yeah. One. I mentioned it, and I guess they quoted me as saying, "Wait, one kick at a time. Door kick at a time. We knock first, just so we clear. We knock.
There
first.
Is the law.
We give people an opportunity to answer the door. Before we kick it in.
I love that. Enforcement of laws, obviously it's October 1st, so it is the first day of the new anti-camping ordinance put in by the state. The county, by my assessment, has taken zero action to either provide a legislative framework or to even think about providing a camp of some kind that's allowed by statute but not required by statute. They can't get sued until January, so there's no action.
Right.
There's no consequence for failure to act until then. But you guys have kind of been stuck out in the front of the storm with no protection here because, to me, you'd be the agency to move people illegally camping. But then what? And are you going to be required to do that? And so what's your agency doing today, if anything?
We have been meeting for months now. We have kind of had an eye towards October.
Yeah.
Thinking that the county may call us and say, hey, we have people on the right of way. Can you help remove them per state law? So we're prepared for that. We're ready, certainly willing to do what needs to be done. but we haven't had, and we've had some conversations with the county about some specific places, but we have not been requested to remove anyone from the right of way as of
yet. At least not yet.
Okay. We are waiting, and we're willing to do that if the county would give us a call.
On that note, the law that prohibits people standing in a median that is less than 6 feet wide in Escambia mm-hmm. County, quite a bit different from the city code of not allowed to engage in the activity with the cars, but that's the way the county went. I've seen your deputies. You know, I think it was in 29, I saw them out with somebody in the median.
Right.
But how has that enforcement been going? I personally worried that one of the problems with that law was the way it was worded. So, for example, like the off-ramp to Davis from I-10,
right.
That is too big. You can't
yes,
enforce
I just
there.
By there. There's an individual that's...
There's always somebody there.
Panhandling there, but
it's
larger
too large.
Than the ordinance says. And the ordinance itself says you have to wait 2-3 light cycles and all this mess. But anyways, that's
how is enforcement of that going?
It's going fine. Our deputies are aware of the ordinance and as time permits, they will stop and let people know and give them the warning that they need. And
is it adequate? Is that law adequate to in your opinion to curbing this problem?
I think that law is actually going to be. More or less antiquated once the new state statute starts to get enforced. Because once you can't camp or sleep on public right of ways, then I think that ultimately there will be some that's some remedy for some of the situation that we have with regards to the sheer mess that's on our sidewalks and the defecation on the sidewalks and all that sort of thing. I think that there's going to be some resolution here shortly.
We always kind of like to end on a good note, and this is actually a really good one. If people want to find you today, they can find you. Or tomorrow. Today,
well, they can always find
you. They
can
always find
yeah.
you, right.
Yeah.
But today you're going to be eating good at Bubba's 33?
Well, yeah, I always eat pretty good. just so we're clear. We will have Bubba's 33 has agreed to have what we call dining with deputies. So 10% of the proceeds for lunch and dinner today will go towards the Sheriff's Foundation. So we will be there. I'll be there for lunch. As I said earlier, I can't be there for dinner because we have the Blazer Academy graduation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we will certainly be there for lunch. And then we have coffee with a cop on Wednesday morning.
Okay,
well.
Where's that at?
That's at Kia.
Oh, okay.
Sport on 29.
Just one question. It's a weird question, but are you guys configured that if people want to give to the foundation while they're at Bubba's, they want to buy their meal and 10% goes, but they just want to make a donation? Are you set up to be able to receive that somehow?
Yeah. We have some literature that's there at Bubba's, and there's a QR code that people can do that.
Very good.
Or they can just eat and then know that 10% of that.
The more they eat, the more you get.
Foundation. And again, the foundation supports the Blazer Academy.
Yep.
The foundation supports a lot of our movie nights, mm-hmm. and it supports the men and women, the well-being of the men and women of the sheriff's office.
I did say last thing, but this is actually the last thing. We talked a little bit about this yesterday with Sheriff Johnson. We've had a lot of motorcycle accidents here lately, and you know, we'd had the question of, is it legal to drive in between the cars, and some uncertainty about that, and people want to know. But just in general, your voice of authority, people will pay attention to you. Anything you can tell either drivers or motorcycle riders, who are both responsible
right.
for the safety, on the roads. But any thoughts about the sort of large number of crashes and fatalities we seem to have had here lately?
Yeah, I've thought the same thing. I was thinking, man, we've had a lot of these. And at one point we had two motorcyclists and a car driver killed or seriously injured. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's both ways. So I think that as a motorcyclist, you have to understand your vulnerabilities. And you got a lot of power under you. You don't have mm-hmm. to use it all the time, and you need to be aware of that. And you also have to understand that people may not see you. But obviously you're a motorist in our county or on a roadway, you need to understand that people might, whether it's a bicycle, whether it's an individual walking across the street, you need to be very aware and use those safe driver techniques so that you don't get injured. As an individual that found myself on the bad end of a motorcycle versus a car crash years ago. This is near and dear to my heart, and so I would encourage everyone to pay attention to those motorcyclists when you're changing lanes, when you're pulling out. A lot of it is speed related mm-hmm. or a traffic signal or a stop sign violation. So if we can stop that, if we can pay more attention to those sorts of things and stop with this distracted driving business,
mm-hmm.
then I think it'll go a long way towards motorcycle safety and driver safety.
I know sometimes people will say, well, that motorcycle is small, fast, and hard to see. Yeah, but people run into school buses.
So I'm not sure you can blame it all on
a week ago, small, fast, and hard to see. Building.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Right. It's, you know, so there may be other issues as well.
I talk a lot about personal responsibility.
It's a lot of,
and I think that goes towards, you know, motorcycles, and it goes towards people that are in pickup trucks or whatever kind of cars you're driving.
Absolutely. Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, sir, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for what you're doing to, you know, reach the community, Blazer Academy, all that kind of stuff. I appreciate it. And, you know, meet people at the Bubba's 33 or coffee, wherever. You're always everywhere, so I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. And by the way, Bubba's 33 is yesterday. I saw them there as I was driving past at one point, but today is coffee with the cop. That's this morning. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. If you need air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing work done, they, you know, kind of make sense that if you're going to do one, you should do kind of all of those things because they all cluster around those home repair sort of things. And that's Peden's idea is, you know, if we can provide all of that for people, why not? That makes it simpler for them, simpler for us. Quality products, quality installation, you know, people show up on time, do what they're supposed to do, and stand by the work, 100% satisfaction guarantee for 55 years. Serving the Gulf Coast, starting in Panama City and building out from there. Of course, they've had their facility, their operation out of Ellison Field for a long time here in Pensacola, all the way east to Tallahassee, all the way west to Mobile. Last year, they went to Baldwin County. This year, they went to Mobile. So they're just everywhere along the Gulf Coast. That's why you can count on them because they, you know, they just keep growing and keep doing what they're supposed to be doing. Right now, as we get into the end of, I mean, really, you know, we're starting to get to the end of hurricane season, fingers crossed. But right now, as we're kind of at the end of air conditioning season, they'll give you $1,000 off any in-stock air conditioning system. Now, I mean, AC is expensive. It just is. And if you need a new one, and if you need one, you need one. And if you need one, they've got one in stock, and you want that one, they will sell it to you for $1,000 off, which is pretty good. You know, pretty good. Also, you can get your air conditioning system service for the fall, get ahead of schedule, not have to be behind when it comes around to the spring. Peden, PEADEN.com.
When it comes to your dream home, at Pinair Credit Union, we think you deserve to be picky. So buy that perfect place that just speaks to you. Or build a new home just the way you like it. Because at Pinair Credit Union, we deliver affordable and flexible home mortgages and construction loans designed to make your next home a dream come true. Find all you need to get started at pinair.org/homeloan. Whether you're buying or building, Pinair Home Loans fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
You may think when you file an insurance claim, the insurance company will do all they're supposed to do to pay out the claim. But insurance companies don't provide manuals to get fair insurance claim settlements. That's where Claimology steps in, giving you a voice when you've suffered property damage or business loss. Don't get lost when filing a claim. Contact Claimology at 850-684-4794 or online at insuranceadjusterschoolhouse.com. Claimology, noun, the art of science and application of fair insurance claim settlements.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, flavors that forge the South Dinner at Jackson's, holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. That's all today at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You are a meathead. A meathead, dead from the neck up.
Good morning, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden says the U.S. fully supports Israel after Iran launched missiles yesterday.
At my direction, the United States military actively supported the defense of Israel, and we're still assessing the impact. But based on what we know now, the attack appears to have been defeated and ineffective.
And the Pentagon said that yesterday's attack by Iran was twice as large as the attack back in April. Up to 200 missiles were launched.
Yeah, two Arleigh Burke-class destroyers were involved in this. The Cole, by the way, was one of them. And firing about a dozen anti-missile missiles.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.